Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 33. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for this word that you have brought us. And we pray, God, that you will reveal to us the meaning for our lives. Show us how you would have us be impacted. Show us how you would have us change. And we ask, Lord, that you be glorified in the preaching, the hearing, and the application of your word in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Caesarea Philippi, a beautiful place. It's about 100 miles north of Jerusalem. A place that King Herod got the land, it was given to him, and he made a palace of white marble. It's also where there is a head stream of the Jordan that flows from a cave. It's rocky, it's mountainous, it's a wild terrain. So Jesus has his disciples out in this area. It's beautiful, and he stops them while there's nobody else around. And he starts to take things to the next level. It's only about 6 months from the cross, so it's been over 2 years that they've been together. And they've seen Jesus heal. They've seen the miracles of feeding. They've seen him cast out devils. And the point of Mark up to this point has been who Jesus is. Now it's time that things switch. They're going to start dealing with what he has come to do. Now, to reveal who he is, he asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they give the testimony. But the important part is when he switches it. "Now, you who have been with me, you that I have been teaching, who am I?" At that point, it looks like Peter lays it all on the line. "You are the Christ." Now we're going to unpack a bit of what this means. And that's what Jesus does right here. He says, "Okay, I'm the Christ." And it's as if he has a suitcase. And he opens it up and says, "Let's unpack what this means." This means I am going to suffer. This means I will be rejected by all of the leaders. This means I will be murdered. This means I will rise from the dead. And it's at that point when Jesus unpacks what it means for him to be Christ. He can say, "You're Christ," but when it comes down to what this is going to mean, Peter says, "No." And he takes him aside and begins to rebuke him. Now this is a really, really big deal. Because here, Peter, probably speaking on behalf of the other disciples. You see what happened. Peter takes him aside, is talking to him, telling him no. And Jesus looks and he sees the other disciples. And that's when Jesus lays it on the line and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Which is something striking and terrifying. And why would Christ even say this? Christ is hearing the very same message he heard 2.5 years ago when he was tempted in the wilderness. You don't have to die. There's another way. And for Christ, for Jesus to be Christ and be there to save His people, means that He has to die. And what Peter was saying is, you won't die. What that means is, there will be no salvation. What that means is, Satan wins. That's why Christ levels His gaze and says, get behind me, Satan. You see, for us to have a view of Christ that does not line up with the biblical view, it is satanic. For people to have any other view of who Jesus Christ is, other than the one who came to suffer, the one who came to die, the one to be raised, and being raised, He gets the kingdoms of the earth. He is set above all kingdoms and authorities. Any other view of Christ is satanic. So you and I, we must stand up for the true Christ. Stand up for who Christ really is. That is what He has come to do and who He is now and the authority that He has now. Because each of us, when we do not live out our Christian life, it is because of a bad view of Christ. It means we are harboring a satanic view of Christ in our own hearts. Look with me at verses 28 and 29. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. But the question is, what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? You see, for Jesus to be called one of the prophets is no small thing. We're talking about a culture who wasn't into sports. They didn't look to their home run hitters. They didn't look to their big hockey players. They didn't look to any of these things. They didn't look to their stars on TV. They talked about Elijah. They talked about Moses. They talked about the heroes of old. And for Jesus to be called one of these heroes, for people to travel miles and miles and miles to see Him, to touch the hem of His garment, was a big deal. But that's not who He was. You see, Jesus Christ isn't someone who simply proclaims the Word of God as a prophet does and as He did. But Jesus Christ is the Word of God. You see, for Jesus to be called Elijah or John the Baptist, which is to be called Elijah, is for Him to be someone who points to the way. Jesus Christ is not the one or someone who points to the way, but Jesus Christ is the way. You see, our culture will accept any of these views that was brought out here. They can say, sure, He was a prophet. Sure, He said the Word of God. They can say, sure, He pointed to a way and came to show people a way. But they won't accept He is the way. What you are called to is to stand up for the true Christ and guard yourself from these watered-down Jesuses. These watered down Christ that we each harbor in our lives. You see, your life bears witness to the Christ you believe in. Do you believe what He has said? And how does that play out in your life? You see, being a Christian is like being in an army. And in this army, you are brought into contact with the commander and chief. And this commander and chief has told you, everyone that's over here with me will be saved. Now what I want you to do is go out over there to all of them and bring them over here. And if they don't come, I am going to destroy them. What does it say? If we take these things and we hear these things, yet we live like we do, do we have a true version of our commander-in-chief? Have we believed him? Do you really believe that he is the one who suffered and died to save you and other sinners? Do you truly believe that he is the one who has been raised from the dead and now has all authority on heaven and on earth? You see, this sermon breaks my heart. What does it say about our view of Christ, the one that we worship, when we look at our lives and we are not telling, we are not proclaiming? It means we have accepted a watered down Christ. So proclaim who Christ really is. Look with me at verses 27 and 28. Jesus and his disciples went to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." See, I found some of my old music that I listened to before I was saved. Some of it's cute. Some of it's just fun. Some of it's actually really dangerous. There's one lyric in the song that I threw the old CD in because I enjoyed it before. And this line came out that said, "Who a man was 2,000 years ago means nothing at all to me today." And I remember hearing that, and I remember thinking about it a little bit a decade ago. I don't even remember what I thought about it. You see, but Christ is not just someone 2,000 years ago. Christ is the one who was raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father even now. We saw in Romans 6, death no longer has dominion over him. He lives, he reigns, and he is coming again. As we already looked at, he is not the one pointing to the way. He is the way. And as we already looked at, he's not the one who says the words of God. He is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is God. So proclaim Christ, the one who is coming to judge. Let me back up a little bit. The true Christ is the one prophesied from of old. In Matthew 1:1 and Galatians 3:16, it says Jesus is the son of Abraham. It says Jesus is the son of David. Yet we see in Matthew 26:63, he's also the son of God. We see in Micah 5:2, he is from eternity. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. Christ is the King God established to rule over the earth in Psalm 2, and his reign is eternal. We see in Romans 1:7 and 2:16, he is coming to judge. This is the true Christ. This is the one that you are called to proclaim. This is the one that everyone rejects. Every one of them will be destroyed. What does your life say about your Christ and the Christ you worship? Now, with this judgment, with this doom, and with this gloom, we look at verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. What is the point of Christ's suffering? What is the point of his rejection? What is the point of his death? We see in Romans 3, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. You see, this suffering and this death that Christ faced was for the purpose of atonement, which means to turn aside the wrath of God, so that you would be saved, so that men and women will be saved as you proclaim the true Christ, as you stand up for the true Christ. So proclaim what he really came to do. We see from Peter's profession and Peter's rejection and Christ's response, it is satanic to reject his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. You see, we are to declare the way of salvation. And Christ is the only way of salvation for man. Now that I live in Pennsylvania and I have Pennsylvania license plates, I'm free to put cool plates on the front of my car. We can't do that in Ohio. We have to have a front plate in Ohio. And I want to make a John 3:36. Everyone loves John 3:16, but John 3:36 proclaims that those who believe in Christ have eternal life. But those who have not believed, the wrath of God remains on them. See, and this bears witness to what Christ came to do. Christ came to save those who put their trust in him. And it is your purpose, it is your calling to proclaim him, to proclaim the true Christ, and to see people saved. As we talked about that commander-in-chief, see people who are in the army. They are given a new identity. They're given uniforms. Nobody looks different. They wear the same thing. They're given the same haircuts. And as a Christian, what is your identity wrapped up in? It should be wrapped up in holiness, but it must also be wrapped up in proclaiming Christ. God's kingdom is to fill the earth. God's glory is to fill the earth. And how is it to do that? It is to do that through you. Through you proclaiming the true Christ, who He is and what He has come to do. One of the beautiful things about this is God takes us where we are, as messed up as we are, and He moves us and He uses us in new and beautiful ways. Peter, we look at him here, rejecting Christ's suffering, rejecting His death. And one of the amazing things about God is He takes whatever you say you won't do, or you will never do, and then He makes you do that. I actually said, I will never be a preacher. And God just grins. Well, we see in the scripture where God laughs at people when they say this or when they say that. Peter rejected Christ's suffering. Let me read you Isaiah 53:5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Christ's suffering predicted in the Old Testament. And then the Holy Spirit grabs Peter and makes him pen this. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Then Peter, who rejected Christ's suffering, says, by His wounds, you have been healed. Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Then the Holy Spirit grabs Peter and has Peter pen, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. See, as much as we have fallen short, as much as our lives have not proclaimed the true Christ, God would draw you to Himself. He would have you say, forgive me. And He would use you from this point on to live a life that proclaims the true Christ. The true Christ who suffered. The true Christ who died to save sinners. The true Christ who has been raised from the dead sits at the right hand of the Father. And the true Christ who would save the lost. You have the blessing of proclaiming Him. So proclaim Him openly. We see in verse 32, He spoke about this openly, but then He says, shh. Don't tell anyone. That time is dead. That time is gone forever. It is time to proclaim. It is time to proclaim your Jesus Christ, who saved you, who suffered, who died, and who sits at the right hand of the Father. Matthew 10:27. What I tell you in the dark, this is Christ speaking. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. The good nuggets that He gives you, the treasures that He gives you in His Word, share them. The things that He has done for you, share them. And see people saved as you stand up for the true Christ, the King of heaven and earth. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. We thank you for all that you have done. And we pray, God, that you will move us to proclaim you and to stand up for who you really are. Father, we ask for your forgiveness for our past weakness. We ask for your forgiveness for all the times that we have not lived like your soldiers. We ask for your forgiveness for our lives that have proclaimed a watered down Christ. We pray, Father, that you move us forward. We pray, Father, that you empower us to speak your word and to speak your truth, and that you will be glorified in the salvation of souls. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.